Hey everybody, welcome to another bonus edition of Small Town Murder. Hello Patreon.
Hello.
We love you people so much. I'm James.
I'm Jimmy.
Thank you guys. You, like we say every week, we know that. You know that because you gave us money.
Nice to have you.
So if you gave your money to strangers, I don't know what you're doing, but thank you, you kind-hearted son of a bitch.
You are the angels of this world.
You really are. We are going to do an episode this week that ties into our Small Town Murder episode that we did this. Rather than just do another case, just a small case, I figured let's talk about a show, because we've done the prisoner dating game now for about a year and change. Yeah. We've been doing that, and we have a lot of fun with that.
So much fun.
And obviously, as I'm reading them, every one of them that I'm reading, and I say, Jimmy, who would you like out of these three or four people? It's any of them are a bad decision.
It's a
probably
terrible idea.
None of them sound good. And I look for some ones that don't sound terrible sometimes, but they're there, and they don't sound great. So
I mean, everybody deserves love.
Absolutely.
Not mine.
Just not mine while you're in there. Right. You get out, straighten yourself out, get your shit together, and then we'll talk about
it. Counting on we're both single, but let's have a chat.
Yeah, you're not in a position. You're not even free. No. You're literally owned by the state. I'm not going to fucking go out with you.
You're paying a very large debt.
So, yeah, and it ties in. If you listen to this week's episode, a woman next door neighbor of our murderer gets tied in with him and ends up marrying him after he's been convicted of fucking murder
and having his child
and has his child and gets roped into this murder for hire scheme and she herself ends up in prison and presumably before that had no, you know, wasn't a criminal or anything like that, but got tied up in this. So we were
that's
like, man,
coming eventually, right?
That could happen
on Love After Lockup.
Fuck yeah,
it's certainly coming.
Yes.
To where they meet somebody and then they're both in jail.
Yeah. Well, on one of them, and let's get right into this, there's a show called Love After Lockup. It's on, I believe, Amazon. It's on Prime. Yeah. it's on a channel
on Wii.
Okay. Yeah. It's out there somewhere, you can find it. But Love After Lockup, and the premise is these people are with prisoners.
Yeah.
Whether they met them before they went in a couple of cases, or most of the time they met them while they were in prison online through literally Write a Prisoner, which is the site I use to get our prisoner profiles. So literally off of that shit works on some people. We read stuff and we go, who would answer this? People.
A lot of them.
People.
And actually, the one girl who's dating the guy minus a smile or two, she's actually kind of cute.
She's okay, but she has a lot of problems.
And she threw away her whole fucking life for
her
him.
Her whole thing. She tore
everything.
It apart. That's the thing we find. Mm-hmm. If you watch this shit after a while, at first, whenever anybody comes up, you're like, oh, well, I mean, it's a connection and this and that, and this makes sense. But then when you get into it more, the person who was in jail usually always has problems because that's why they were in jail.
Right.
I mean, obviously, their life wasn't going so well. They made some bad decisions. Yeah. Their shit is not together.
And sure, there are innocent people behind bars,
absolutely.
But not a single one of these people say, I didn't do it.
No, none of them say they didn't do it. None of them. All of them 100% did it, and they're saying they did it. So it's fucking amazing.
That's fascinating.
So yeah, these people, they hook up with these people behind bars and they're talking to them and they're I don't even know what to say about that. How they find them, I don't know how they make this decision, but the people on the outside are always 10 times crazier than the prisoner.
Right.
Always.
Yeah.
Because think about their psychology of, I need to find someone who can't go anywhere,
right,
do anything.
Yeah.
I'm their only light and sunshine.
Yeah.
And then when they get out of prison and they're together, they wonder why this prisoner isn't as attentive now as they were when they were in prison.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, because there's a whole rest of the universe now that they can see rather than just you.
Right.
Before, you're the only fucking person outside those walls that would talk to them. That's why.
Specifically that couple where he's in prison, they're having a great relationship, he gets out, she loses her mind running for the truck, then they get in the truck, they fuck in the woods
That's a common thing too. Leaving the prison and not even getting to a hotel, pulling over and putting a fucking one time, the one lady, she just put down a pilfered motel blanket. She literally she was leaving. She's like, I'm picking him. I'm going to bring this blanket so I can fuck him on a hillside and like brought it, laid it. There's all of the rocks and burrs and shit in there.
So they fuck in the woods and then they get back to his place, which isn't his place. It's his mom's place.
Always his mom's place.
He gets back to mom. mom's place, and they're in the bedroom that's painted green still from when he was 19.
Yeah, it's got his Little League trophies on.
Right. They're in the bedroom, and then she starts talking about the plans. We're going to get a job. We're going to do this. And he's like, listen, if I want to be somewhere, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go. And she's like, wait, you're going to what?
He's like, well, I need a few weeks just to unwind and get back in. She's like, well, you need to get a job because we have plans and all this. Yeah. Remember all those plans? We're getting married. And they start like, they're in the car on the way home from jail, by the way. If it's a woman who's married, we'll dive right in. If it's a woman and the person she has been hooking up with in jail is a guy.
Yeah.
On the way home from jail, she's talking about the wedding date.
We can go right now.
She's like, so we're going to get married, like, what, over the beginning of the summer, this and that. I picked out a dress, and the guy's like, wow, look at the clouds. He's literally like, whoa, cars. Like,
oh, yeah, that's what flowers look like when they bloom.
Holy shit. It's overwhelming. Yeah. And then it's a lot. And you could just see it's because the people on the, and it goes same for the guys, too. Yeah. The people on the outside have been building their life around this open space of a person. Like, okay, I got all this I built up, and I'm just leaving room for this to put in there. And then they expect when this person gets out, they just slot them right into that little space they've opened. But this person has other plans because they have a life too that they want. And they're like,
I need a few weeks to unwind from prison.
From prison. What? She's like, fuck no. That dude was a scumbag.
You've had 8 years to fucking unwind in there.
That was the guy missing the smiler.
Right.
And she, at one point, she goes, I mean, he said he was going to get a job and do all this, and it's been 2 weeks, and it is 11 a.m., and he's sitting in the front yard drinking. That's what she said.
She comes and sits down next to him. How many of those are you going to have?
Yeah.
As many as he
it's
fucking...
It's 11 a.m. on a weekday. He's in the front yard drinking.
He's a criminal.
Well.
What did you expect?
Yeah, what did you expect? Oh, he's going to go. I got a job on the stock exchange. Isn't that wonderful? No. Obviously not.
I started a .com. I'm collecting money right now.
It's amazing. I'm doing so well. So well. Who would have known about my technical proficiency when it came to computer things? I'm an IT wizard. I didn't even know.
Unbelievable. I'm missing a tooth. What did you expect? Hey, not just any tooth, right up front.
Well, it's because thinking this hard, your teeth pop out. It's just my brain power just shoots them right out of my gums. I can't help it. So we'll start out talking about some individual people here. My favorite, and your favorite, everybody's going to be favorite, is going to be Clint and Tracy.
He's the best.
Okay? Clint, first of all, Clint looks like a... Clint is the guy on the outside.
Yeah.
He is the, quote, upstanding citizen.
Right.
Now, right away, this guy's life is shit.
Yeah.
He works at a hotel, which doesn't make his life shit right away, but he's a front desk clerk at the hotel. His direct supervisor is...
His ex-wife.
So, he's got
answers to his ex-wife.
Hardcore Karen haircut on her, too. I mean, his ex-wife...
Oh, she's bitchy.
...is taking none of his shit.
None.
I don't know how they lasted for 5 minutes, because he looks real methy and squirrely.
He looks like the son in Wedding Crashers that's gay or whatever.
Yeah.
And he looks like his hair's all fucked up.
He looks like, the kid from Vegas Vacation, Papa Giorgio. He looks like him.
He mashes it forward to, look... less fucking
sometimes,
imposing.
And then sometimes he puts it up in a faux hawk and shows that he's got barely any hair left. And sometimes he puts it down when it's too long and it comes down almost to his eyes, and it's like this weird fucking Caesar, but down to his eyes. It's
everybody treats
haircut.
Him like shit.
Oh,
and then
for a
the
reason.
Way that they write his name
mom
in the
treats
show,
him like shit. Right? Everybody treats him like shit.
The way his name is written, it's all in capital letters, and then the L and the I are like super close together. It looks like his name
it
is
looks
cunt.
It's hardcore.
And everybody treats him like a cunt.
They do, because he is a cunt.
So I call him. Oh, look, we're back to cunt.
He's the stupidest man on the show.
He is.
He's super methy, and he decides he's going to get this girl named Tracy, who he calls his goddess, okay?
Uncomfortably.
My goddess.
He
my
says
goddess.
It like, and when he finally talks to her, he's like, anything you want, my goddess.
My goddess.
Calm down with the goddess.
Chill,
get it. You love her.
So she gets out, and she's also methy, but she's like a chunky meth head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She's got a little bit extra.
She's been in prison and ate some of the food and smoked a little less of the meth.
She's stretching out sweatpants.
So, she gets out. He's gotten a special credit card to spend, because they're going to get married that weekend. So he's got a special credit card just for that he's going to max out and everything. Well, he maxes that out in about 15 minutes before they even get married, because she wants her hair done, which then she needs to bleach it too, and she needs to get her nails done, and then her hairdo was $400 to get her hair done. And then she was getting her nails done. Then she gave him a list, a mile long, of shit to go get her at Target. Bathroom shit, lotions, soaps.
While she's spending other money getting her hair done.
She said, while I'm doing this, why don't you go shopping for me?
So I need these particular soaps that smell like
pomegranate.
This. Pomegranate.
Right. I like that it was pomegranate. I remember very specifically. Pomegranate.
That was the one.
So she wants pomegranate soaps and lotions and shit like that. So she does all that. Then they leave the hair salon and go buy a wedding dress for another $450 or some shit she spent on that.
Well, I don't know what she spent because he didn't go with her because he didn't want to see it before the wedding
day. So he gave her.
I was thinking about $200, but if you find something that you like that's a little bit more, go ahead and buy
it. So guess how much it was? Not $200.
No. Here's my credit and my debit card.
And
just in case
you can match it up and cover it on both. So she goes, buys that. They go.
Disappears.
Well, no, she goes and gets the dress and everything. Then they go and get married.
Yeah.
They get married at a shitty country western bar in rural New Mexico.
But she disappears for a while with the credit card and debit card, and he is stranded at this country bar for like 5 hours.
But then she comes back, and that's all fine.
And then she shows up, and she goes, did you worry? No, I knew you'd be
and
here.
It was great.
Well, you didn't think I'd take off with your debit and your credit card? No, I trust you. I knew it.
So
God damn it, cunt.
They get married in front of a group of stranger rednecks, old people, just a bunch of old rednecks that frequent this bar.
Just happen to be there.
Who are like, what's going on over there? Fucking morons, and they're just drinking. People heckling their wedding.
Yeah.
So they get married. Then they go back to the hotel room to celebrate.
Consummate this shit. Yeah.
Only thing is, on the way to the hotel, Tracy decides she wants to celebrate a little more than possibly Clint does. And how does she celebrate? Well, how else but crack? We don't know this till later on when they cut to Clint in the morning and they show the hotel room, which looks like a bunch of 17-year-olds had a party there. There's like just cigarette butts and shot glasses and booze knocked over. And it looks like people had a party there. And he's on the phone.
That unbelievable still shot of a sideways high heel.
Yeah, sideways high heel that she obviously had on during the wedding. All this shit. He's on the couch rocking back and forth on the phone. Saying, she's gone, man. She's just fucking gone. And he's pulling his hair out. And then he's on the phone with his mother. And she says, well, what happened? And he says, what happened? Motherfucking crack. That's what happened. Motherfucking crack.
And it's so good and so in the moment. They use that clip
every time they show to Clint. Back to Clint. This is motherfucking crack. Because he's in that room, which is a disaster, and he's crying, and he's on the phone, and it just looks like, worst case scenario here, everybody.
He splurged on a $140 a night room.
Motherfucking crack.
And he's pacing it going, motherfucking crack!
So then the producers talk to him, clearly, to go, so what happened? And he said, well, I remember at one point I was laying on her lap, looking up at her smoking crack. And I was like, well, that's when you know there's a problem. He goes, and that was just, I was like, oh, man, this isn't good. And then she got up and she said she wanted more. And she got crazy about it. I said, oh, this isn't good at all. You think?
That's when I knew.
That's when I knew. So that's when I knew is what he said. Yeah. That's when I knew. That's when you knew? Not when she was firing up a rock on top of you?
Not when she said, I'd like to get crack.
Yeah, I'd like to stop. Just a little crack. So then he says he was so overwhelmed with just disgust that he just walked out of the room.
Yeah.
Didn't take his keys, didn't take his stuff, his money, his wallet, nothing. He just walked out of the room and wandered around Houston for a while.
Downtown.
Because that's where it was. They live in New Mexico, but she got out of jail outside of Houston.
He went to go marry her in Houston.
So then he said he went back to the room, and when he gets back in there, she's fucking gone.
Yeah.
Not only is she gone, his rental car is also gone. Okay, gone.
Yeah.
In addition to, now this was the funny part, she didn't take all of his money.
Right.
He had $200 bills and she took one of them, her half, I guess.
Isn't her?
And she took his credit and debit cards as well. So, and his car and his rental car. So that was the pacing around the house. Then we cut to him going, motherfucking crack, with all of his shit gone. She's gone for days.
Yeah.
He doesn't hear from her for days.
8 days?
6-8 days.
Yeah, I think it's 8 days.
Just gone.
Yeah.
And then he gets a call from her.
Right.
And he's like, well, where are you? He goes, she's like, I'm in fucking jail again. Well, no shit, stupid.
Of course she is.
Of course she is. So he's then like, I'll get you out.
Yeah.
He's going to try to get her out
of jail. I've got a $100 bill.
I got $100. $100 cash. So then she's in jail, and she gets in and out of jail a couple times because he bails her out. Then she gets put back in again.
Yeah.
So at one point, she calls him up to say that she needs help, and he's at his mom's house, mm-hmm. and his mom hates Tracy.
Oh, boy, she's done with this
shit. She's done with this shit. So he's at his mom's house. He's talking on the phone with her outside.
Who, by the way, his parents are crushing life.
They're doing well.
They have an unbelievable house.
They live in Hobbs, New Mexico,
yeah.
So let's be realistic.
Right.
They're
great
not crushing.
Point.
Yeah, that house was $48,000. It's a beautiful house.
But
it's in the middle of the desert.
They are the emperors of Hobbs,
oh, yeah.
New Mexico.
Yeah, they're running shit down
yeah.
there. Every way nicer than anything else in that town. So he gets on the phone with her, and he's telling her that, like, his feelings are hurt because, mm-hmm. you know, she keeps smoking crack and stuff like that. By the way, rental car, completely gone.
Right.
She sold it for crack. She, like, sold it or traded it for crack. Never recovered. The rental car company is billing him for $21,000. So his credit card's maxed out.
Right.
His money's gone, and he's got a $21,000, like, judgment against him now from a fucking rental car company that he can't dispute.
But somehow he's doing fantastic because he has a pickup truck that's kind of a little bit of a beater, but it's a
truck.
It's a nice truck.
Yeah.
But then he also has an SS Camaro somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
He's killing it.
I thought that was his rental car.
Was that the rental?
That was the rental car. No, the car they were, that was his rental car.
No, because he picks her up in that
after
everything is said and done.
Oh, you're right. That might be his
car. A beautiful car.
It might be his parents' car. Who
Maybe
knows?
So.
Anyway, yeah, he's outside in his truck, and he's saying his feelings are hurt. So she says, well, fuck it then. Never mind you. And he says, so you're breaking up with me? And she says, yeah. And he's like, really? And she hangs up on him. He takes his phone for one of the 30 times in the course of the show he does this and just hurls it across the yard. Chucks it like he's skipping a stone.
Into a dirt lot.
Yeah, no grass or anything. This is a dirt New Mexico lot.
Poof.
Just rocks everywhere. He just throws it in there and then turns, the production crew goes, so what happened? Even though they clearly know what happened.
We heard.
We want to hear. Clint then stops. He goes, What happened? And he turns back to the house and he goes about referencing his mother.
Pointing to her.
She got what she fucking wanted. And then he points to the production crew and goes, you all got what you fucking wanted. Everybody got what they fucking wanted. Everybody. And then he starts punching his truck as hard as he can.
She broke up with, she called it off.
Sheet metal. Punching his truck as he screamed, that fucking
just
bitch.
Plunking into the side of his blue Chevy.
What they want.
And he picks up his phone again.
Yeah.
And then lobs it into the bed of
into
his
the bed.
Truck.
He just throws it into the bed of his truck. It's fucking it's insanity.
Oh, cunt.
And they're just filming him, which is just hilarious. And then, long story short, they get back together.
Unbelievable.
They get back together.
She calls him eventually, and they start talking, and
she gets out of jail. She gets out of jail.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. She gets out of jail. She's lost half her body weight, by the way.
Which she can't do.
No. I mean, she got cracky real fast.
Yeah.
I mean, she lost tons of weight.
When she had a little bit of weight to her.
Normal.
Like her face.
She looked better.
Looked
much
colored.
Better.
There
yeah.
was color and there was
without
animated.
It, you're like,
without it, it's like,
whoa.
Holy shit.
Whoa. Yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah.
It's fucking frightening. So they
40 pounds.
40. Yeah. That's all it took, man.
Yeah.
They get back together. They decide. So they're together. And then eventually she finally gets off parole.
Yeah.
And it's like the big day of her getting off parole. First of all, she's frustrated and stops and gets a drink at a bar 2 days before, which is against her parole. But she's telling the bartender, I'm on parole. I ain't even supposed to do this. And she's drinking scotch. The lady's like, okay,
oh,
great.
My.
Wonderful. You're going to tip me, right?
That'll be $8.50.
That'll be something. So, but she ends up not smoking crack that night.
That's nice.
She goes back to Clint, who's mad at her for being late.
Right.
And she says, look, here's what happened.
Yeah.
I wanted to smoke crack, and I fucking didn't smoke crack, and I'm here.
Drank.
She didn't mention that part.
Yeah.
She didn't say that. She said, I thought about smoking crack, and I didn't.
Yeah.
Which, hey, good for you.
Step up.
Hey, and she's admitting it, and she didn't. That's great. They go on to, she gets off parole. They go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And they renew their vows.
Yeah.
but doesn't go that smoothly.
No.
When they get to Vegas, she says, let's take a selfie at the hotel together. So she takes his phone and takes a selfie. While she's doing that, he gets a text message from a chick.
Oh, no.
From another chick.
In prison?
No. Some other chick that he was talking to in jail as well. Turns out, he is like sexting with this broad back and forth who he met when Tracy went back to jail.
Oh, no.
And has just kept with her. Tracy's being super reasonable about this. She's going, delete that bitch from your fucking phone. Because he's like, look, we just talked. We never hooked up, whatever. She goes, then delete that bitch from your fucking phone. Fuck this. And takes his phone. He starts breaking down a motel room door. He kicked holes in a motel room door. Freaked the fuck out. They yelled and screamed and fought and glass was broken. All this crazy shit. And then the next day, they renewed their vows. I don't. I'm just.
It is amazing.
I'm just fucking amazed by this shit. It's like the prelude to Small Town Murders.
It's so solid.
There's Lizzie and Scott is another one of my favorites.
Lizzie Scott.
Scott is the older guy.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. He's an unfortunate man.
It's
Scott.
It's depressing.
He's a very depressing man. Yeah. He's an older guy. Right. He's kind
clearly doesn't even need sex.
No.
Which is. What?
He just wants companionship. Yeah. He's in his 50s and he's like, he's just a sad guy. You'd see him and you go, that's an unfortunate guy. He's just a sad guy. He's a little overweight. Yeah. He's just kind of dumpy looking. Yeah. He's just, you know, he's a blue collar guy. He's a truck driver and he just is looking for love.
He's working his ass off.
And he meets this broad named Lizzie in prison. Ooh. And she likes her drugs in jail. Lizzie is a straight hustler.
Right.
Most of these women in prison admit, too. They tell the camera, like, while in prison, that J-Pay shit that we always hear, your J-Pay on the prisoner dating game, that's how they survive.
Yeah.
That's how they live. They all have...
Survive? Fuck.
Thrive.
That's how they thrive.
They all have a bunch of guys that they're getting money from. So they're talking to all these guys and they're hustling them.
Right.
And Lizzie said she told Scott that that's what she was doing.
Right.
And she even said, I was hustling you at first too, but I actually like you now. Mm. Blah, blah, blah. Long story short, she was in jail for 9 years.
Yep.
She scammed guys out of $800,000 in 9 years.
And how much did she get out of Scott? 90 grand.
90 grand.
So he is the bulk. One guy, he's the bulk of that.
He's an eighth of it almost.
Right.
But
I mean, that's why she ran with him.
$800,000. And she spent it all on drugs in jail.
All of it.
Think about that.
Wow.
She could have bought a fucking mansion.
Yeah.
She got out, but instead.
Oh, boy.
She probably could have got out of jail if she used that toward her legal fees, for Christ's sake. And he, like, drove 5 hours to pick her up a couple times, and she wasn't actually getting out.
Yeah.
And then she gets out, and her daughter hates this fucking guy and doesn't want her to be around him. And the daughter's mad at him for giving her money for drugs while she was in jail. And he's saying, I just want to make her happy. And
greatest part is that in the reunion, the, like, reuniting of them together, she jumps into his arms and knocks his fucking tooth out.
Knocks him down a hill and knocks his just-fixed false tooth out.
Brand new tooth.
Yeah.
And he thinks he swallowed it.
Yeah, they go down, they find it finally.
Did they find
they
it?
They found it in the weeds,
God,
finally. They found his dental plate, finally,
good.
That had it in there. And he had a whole new setup. And turns out he just gives her money after money after money, sets her up and all this shit. Some time goes by. The end of that's the crazy shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen this.
Yep.
The when she goes to California to visit him.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Wisconsin. He lives in California. They end up breaking up because, you know, she says she wants to start a life of her own and hang out with her daughter, which is fine.
And she does. She
great.
She gets a job.
She's not doing drugs. She's a forklift operator.
Right.
She's working like a blue-collar job. She gets a car, an apartment. She's paying for everything herself. She seems confident.
She's not allowed to wear makeup at her job.
No.
She wears a t-shirt, so not even her cleavage shows.
Not
and
even
she
her
has
tits are hanging
enormous
out.
Enormous.
Giant tits.
Fucking tits. It's crazy.
And she's an older lady, too. She's in her 50s.
Right.
And she gets her shit together like exactly what you would want someone who got out of prison to do.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Does all her parole shit.
Right.
Gets a job. Supports her. Like, does all the things you'd want her to do.
Yeah.
And she decides, I got to go see Scott.
Yeah.
I got to go to California and I got to go see Scott. She says, there's just something there still that might be there. So they haven't talked in a while. She shows up at his door And another woman answers.
Yeah.
And right away, she's mad.
Of course.
She comes in the house. Scott's there. Scott's like, oh, my God, Lizzie, I'm so happy to see you. And she smacks him. Smacks him in the face and says, how fucking dare you cheat on me? And he's like, you broke up with me and told me to leave you alone.
Told me to go on my own.
What are you talking about? And it turns out Scott isn't even fucking this lady.
No.
Because Scott is not the guy that women have sex with. Scott's the guy who is their friend and gives them stuff. And then finally, when he's like, are you going to fuck me or not? They go away because they're not going to ever fuck him.
Of course not.
Of course not.
I needed you to help me with my plumbing.
What is wrong with you? Gee, my car was broken down.
A pipe?
Good Lord. I don't know how to do any of this shit. I don't know the difference between plum and flush. What am I supposed to do? So, I can't hang that door. So
it's a toilet flapper. I can't put my hand in that water. Does it have piss in it?
It's cold.
It feels weird.
It's pissy.
There's gotta be.
I know
piss
it's technically,
right?
But it's gotta leak.
It feels pissy.
It's so close to the piss.
That's too much.
There's gotta be shit flex in there. So yeah, she goes back and you know, confronts him, and he says, we're not even together.
Right.
Then he says, let's have a date. And she says, if we're going to have a date, I'm going to pay for it this time.
Oh.
That's how she's literally going to him saying, look, let's start from scratch and see if we actually have something. And to start to show you I'm serious, I don't even want your money. I'm going to pay for our date. I'll pick you up and I'll pay for it.
Get in.
So Scott says, okay. They go to the beach.
Get in the car that you paid for.
It is the car he paid. She bought her an
RX-8.
Yeah, and she, still has it. She's still driving it around
Wisconsin,
too. It's
hilarious, so she's driving around Wisconsin. She's like, I'm so independent. I'm like, bitch, you don't need
you're in his car. Yeah, you're literally, I go, isn't that the car she bought him? And we were watching it. Like, come on.
That car had a bow on it.
Yeah, it did, too. Legit bow. So they go to the beach, and Scott is, at this point, fucking whips out a ring.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was going to give this to you before, but I'll give it to you now. And he's, like, trying to propose to her.
Right.
She's like, I just wanted to hang out and see if we were cool. Like, you're proposing to me? So he gets super mad, walks down to the water, and chucks a ring into the ocean. He looks at her, he goes, $5,000, and just fucking whizzes the box into the ocean, to where she walks in the water after it and fucking finds it.
Did she really?
Yeah, she's like, I found it, here it is. And he grabs it out of her hand. He's trying to throw it. She's trying to block it. She's in front of him like Dikembe Mutombo, trying to fucking block a shot while he's trying to throw it in the water. It's like, no, don't do
it. I have not seen this. This is great.
Fucking amazing, right? So then they go there. They go back to his house, whatever. And it's at this point that his friend, roommate, other woman is home. And she's trying to defend Scott. And she's like, look, Lizzie, you've been using Scott, and I don't trust you. If you guys are going to start dating or whatever like that, I would feel more comfortable, Lizzie, if you took a drug test.
Yeah.
Because you were in jail forever, and you took money from him for drugs.
Brilliant.
Now you're back again. I'd like you to take a drug test. So Lizzie goes, all right, I'll take a drug test. She's like, because I'm on parole. I got to piss every week.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll take a drug test if he'll take a drug test, too.
Oh,
so
what?
The lady's like, yeah, all right. So the nurse lady, who's his roommate, goes and gets 2 drug tests, come back.
They just happen to have them in the house?
Goes to the drugstore.
Oh,
comes back, pulls back in, gets them out, gives one to Lizzie. She goes in and pisses negative, 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 negative on all the shit. She's
all
like,
clean.
I'm all clean. She's like, I haven't done shit. Trust me. And she goes, all right, Scott, go in there and piss. And he's like, I can't piss right now. He's like, I can't fucking piss. I haven't been drinking. It's hot. I'm sweating. I can't piss. And she's like, here's some water.
Yeah.
Piss, piss, piss. Go ahead. Finally, he goes, I can't. She's like, why? He goes, I'm not clean. She's like, are you on fucking drugs, Scott? And he's like, I've been on and off.
Oh, my God.
He's been smoking meth.
What?
Scott smokes meth.
That's why he's missing so many teeth.
Missing teeth. That's why he's constantly sweating.
Sweating, yeah.
The whole thing. He's smoking
he's a
meth.
Mess.
He's a meth.
He's a meth. God damn it, Scott.
It's fucking crazy, man. So
wow, that's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck, Scott? Jesus Christ. And he's like, well, why won't you help me? He goes, help me. I helped you through all this shit. Why won't you help me? And she's like, I'm on fucking parole.
Yeah.
She's like, if I'm in your fucking house, say I move in with you, and my parole officer comes, and you're in the back smoking fucking meth, I'm going back to prison. I'm not worth doing that shit for anybody. She's like, I got a relationship with my daughter. I got a job. Fuck you, I'm out.
Yeah.
And she just leaves.
Jump back in that car you bought me.
He tries to, like, block her from getting in the car.
Oh, that's illegal.
He's like, you can't go, blah, blah, blah. Then he finally goes, fine, fucking go. He reaches in his pocket. He must have $5,000 in cash, and he just fucking throws it at her. It's blowing in the wind on the street, and he goes, maybe now you'll fucking like me. Now do you like me? Now that I have fucking money? Is that what you want? And he starts, it's a mess.
Unbelievable.
That's how that ended. So that didn't end well.
I knew they would not last.
No.
Just seeing their whole story, you go, what are you, either of you.
No, it's a disaster.
Both of you just go, this is clearly
this
never
going to happen.
This
clearly isn't going to work. No. And then you have drinking in the yard guy, yeah. But he's not as interesting as Mormon lady with gangbanger guy.
Who's that?
That's my favorite. There's this heavy set black woman who lives in Utah.
I don't know her.
Who's a hardcore Mormon. I'm talking.
I haven't seen these.
Dude, she is so Mormon.
And she's going to bring a gangbanger in?
She has been talking to a gangbanger from LA who's a straight, legit gangbanger who's been in prison for 19 years for armed robbery. Right? This dude. So she is talking about how he's going to get out and be a member of my family and be all holy. And her kids are like, her son is like total Urkel.
How
her
many?
Son's like, I'm not sure if it's the right thing to do. Literally, her son is this little black kid who goes, I'm not sure it's the right thing to do to bring that sort of influence into our home. I'm not.
He's running physics formulas showing how this is going to go bad.
He's grown up in Utah among all the Mormon people. Like, she does her like bridal thing where has all her women around, and they're just a bunch of old white Mormon ladies. The one lady goes, actually says in the talking head, her one of her friends, she goes, I always wanted a black friend, and now I have one. The fucked up part is she popped on the screen and I looked to Sarah and I go, she seems like the type of woman who's like, I just want a black friend, you know, so I can say I have one. Yeah. 2 seconds later, she goes, I've always wanted a black friend and now I have one. I go, my head almost exploded.
There she is.
So they all obviously tell her this is a bad idea. She goes and gets this dude out of prison, blah, blah, blah. This all happens. She ends up, okay, he's not allowed. She wants him to parole to Utah with him, with her, right? He's not allowed. They won't let him parole to Utah. He's in California. He's got a parole to Cali. So she says, fine, I'll move the kids to LA.
What?
So she moves her Mormon ass sheltered kids from fucking a burb of Salt Lake City to like the hood. Not like Orange County. Right. We're talking like in his neighborhood.
To
like
Watts and South Central.
Shit was like,
Long Beach.
This kid's like, I'm not sure this neighborhood is right for us. I see a lot of African Americans walking around. They're like, you're black, motherfucker. What are you talking about? It's a dangerous neighborhood. I'm not sure it's right for me. There's minorities. It's different. It's different than what I'm used to, is what I'm saying. So this guy, she's fucking like, he's just trying to be, he's a pretty cool guy. Like, he seems like the dude, like, if you talk to him, you get along with him.
Yeah.
He's a funny dude. He was a gangster. Like, he'll be like, I don't know what the fuck this bitch is talking about, but I ain't doing that shit, blah, blah, blah. He's just funny.
Yeah.
Right? So they get all involved in everything. And eventually she decides that she doesn't want to be in LA anymore because they go over to his cousin's house for a family gathering.
Picnic, a barbecue.
It's not even a barbecue, just a gathering at his cousin's apartment, and people are smoking weed.
Oh.
And she...
She can't do
it's
it.
It's legal as fuck.
Yeah.
They're just smoking a blunt in their own living room. Right. No kids around or anything like that. Grown people smoking blunt in their living room. And she's like, she walks in the house, sits down. She goes, I don't even know how I could sit here with this smell. It's just, I just can't take it. I'm like, you rude ass bitch. Fuck you. Fuck you. If they walked into your house and go, oh, all this scripture, I just don't like it. Oh, look at this. All this word of God shit and Jesus. Oh, I just can't take it. I got to leave the fucking house. You'd think they were an asshole. You walked into their house, they're smoking weed. You sit there and you fucking respect it, you fucking twat. Fuck you. Oh, I was so fucking mad. How dare you? Go in and judge people. It wasn't even like...
But what if it was an Asian house and it smelled like whatever the
that's
food
what I mean.
Is?
Fucking you know eggs I mean? Or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Pop into a fucking
an Indian curry or fucking my grandmother's house. You're going to smell some garlic.
You're
it's going to happen.
Smell some shit.
It's going to happen. So
that's
what I mean.
That's essentially the black people's sauce.
There, yes. And mine, for that
when
matter.
When it's legal,
That's what I'm saying.
That's
so,
the garlic of a black of a, couple's house.
That might be the most Andrew Jackson moment you've ever seen. Said. And the fucked up part is it's really true. So I love it. And mine too.
Yeah.
So so she goes over there, she's acting a fucking fool, making a big scene out of this shit. She goes outside, I just can't take it anymore. Blah, blah, blah. And his relatives come out, they're just laughing. They're like, what the fuck is her problem?
Yeah.
Like and he's going, it's legal here. He goes, it's perfectly legal. They're adults. What the fuck are you tripping about? Right. Like, then hang out outside while they're smoking. I can still smell it. I can't even take it. I gotta leave. I can't be around these people. Then she's
bringing her Utah laws into California.
Yeah. Talking head of her is just like, I can't justify morally being around something like that. And how could I? The church is going to know. And I feel like it's not my moral responsibility is to not be around shit like that. And you're like, will you shut the fuck up? They're smoking weed in a living room. No one's being hurt.
Don't go to Amsterdam.
There was fucking potato salad out. Like, calm the fuck down. Have some potato salad and chill the shit out. You know what I'm saying? Relax.
Nobody's asking you to smoke.
No. smoke it. I can't stand the smell of fucking alcohol, but people drink. I don't tell them, oh, God, put it away.
If they didn't offer it to you, then they're rude.
That's what I mean. They did. They offered it. It's right. Like, I don't think so.
Well, then you're rude.
So then she says, he just doesn't know. This is all he's known his whole life. He's known this and jail and this hood shit, she says. It's just, I got to get him out of this. She goes, I got to show him what a better life he'd have in Utah. Uh-huh. He'd have so much of a better, lead a cleaner life. It's beautiful, the mountains and the air, and the people are nice. It's so much better. So I'm going to convince him. I'm going to take him back to Utah on a vacation.
Show this motherfucker snow.
Show him some shit, right? So she does that. She takes him back to Utah on a vacation to meet her friends and all that shit. And he's like, all right, you're down here. I should be able to go there. Makes it all good with his PO and all that shit. Goes over there, goes in, meets all the friends. How you doing? Yeah. By the way, he stopped to get himself a 6-pack of beer because she told him there ain't going to be any alcohol at this party. Yeah. And he bought non-alcoholic by accident.
Oh, no!
He's like, the talking head, he's like, no, I'm drinking this shit. I'm drinking like 3 of them. That shit tastes just like beer. And I'm like, man, I don't feel shit, man. What the fucking non-alcoholic beer I bought. He's like, man, I was pissed off like a motherfucker.
That sounds like Utah.
So now he's stuck in this fucking house. He goes, the label looked exactly the same, man. This is ridiculous shit. He goes outside. They're like, you want to go fishing in the pond behind the house? He's like, hell yeah, give me a pole. Let's do this shit. So him and a bunch of fucking redheaded crackers go outside. It's him and like the dorkiest looking Mormons you could find. And they're fishing and he's doing it. He's getting into it. Before you know it, they start talking about the scripture. And if you do this and you'll do that. And he's like, yeah, man, I ain't even really into that shit, man. He's like, you know, I just ain't trying to hear
it. Bring me out here fishing and try to feed me this
like,
shit.
Like, just come and check it out because, you know, the power of the word of the blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, you cut to the talking head. He's like, man, I got some Children of the Corn, Twilight Zone vibes coming to me from these motherfuckers talking about fucking join our shit. Man, I ain't joining shit. And I'm just like, I fucking love Lamar. He's my fucking man. I love this guy because that's exactly how I'd be. I'd be like, I will push you in this pond if you mention Jesus one more fucking time to me. Fuck away from me.
That is hilarious.
So, yeah, she's the whole time she's trying to talk him into, like, wouldn't it be great to move here? He's like, hell no, wouldn't be great to move here.
This place is
weird. When they first got there, they're in this neighborhood, like her friend's neighborhood, and it's like one of these subdivisions of brand new houses and all that shit. He gets out of the car and he's like, man, he goes, these motherfuckers, the second we got out of the car, everybody in here looked out their window and got their phone on 9-1. They're getting ready to press that shit. She's like, no, it's not like that. It's not. He goes, bullshit. Look at that motherfucker getting the mail. He walked out. He hasn't taken his damn eyes off me. He goes, you see a black man in the neighborhood? They'd be like, who the fuck is this over here? He's like, I don't feel. He goes, I don't feel comfortable for shit. He goes, they're gonna lock me the fuck back up over here.
Visually, are they a match?
Yes.
Okay.
Visually, they're a match. He's like a heavy set dude, bald headed black dude. Yeah. She's like kind of a pretty heavy set like black woman. Yeah.
Okay.
Age wise, they're age appropriate and they're. Most of the time, the women with the guy prisoners, a lot of the times, the woman's 50 and the guy's 26.
Right.
And obviously, he's using her. But this, they're like equal age and everything. So, okay, they're in Utah, and she's trying to talk him into this shit. Like I said, like, you're going to live here, you're going to live here, it's going to be great. Then she tells one of her friends, she's like, I haven't told LeVar yet. His name's LeVar, not Lamar. Yeah. I haven't told LeVar yet, but I've already looked into like getting the kids back into school. I talked to my old job about getting a position again,
coming back,
and I started looking at rental properties. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know that shit though, and they're like, her friend is like, don't you think you should tell him?
You
that
can't spring that shit on him.
Don't you think you should tell him? She goes, I'm not telling him shit. She goes, I'm just gonna be here and I'm gonna go, we're moving here, and he's gonna have no choice.
Oh God.
And she said, well, what do you mean he's going to have no choice? She goes, I talked to his PO and everything.
Oh.
She went behind his back to his PO, to his parole officer, and got permission for him to parole there.
She needs him.
He didn't even know about it.
No.
So then, finally, they're back at the house that she rented, and he's like, yo, I'm fucking leaving. He goes, I'm going home. This is crazy. I just don't want to be in Utah. I got business shit I got to tie up. I got things to do and shit. And she's like, I want to move here now, LeVar. And he's like, no, I ain't doing it. She's like, yeah, you are. You're doing it. You're not going back to L.A. He's like, I'm fucking, trust me, I'm getting in the car and I'm driving to the airport. Right. I'm getting a ticket and I'm flying back to fucking L.A. right now. And she goes, not without your ID and your paperwork.
What?
And your travel papers from your P.O. and your debit and credit cards, because I took them all.
What?
He goes, you didn't do that shit. And he goes, in his wallet, fucking gone. He goes, you took all my shit, you crazy bitch. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
David blamed him. So then, that's entrapment.
That's what I mean. So then he's like, you can't keep me. You can't fucking kidnap me, man. Fuck that shit. And he like leaves the house, and then he ends up coming back. He's like, where's my shit at? And he like stole her phone. She's like, give me my phone. The kid's got a call. And he's like, I don't give a shit. Give me my fucking ID, and I'll give you my goddamn phone. They go back and forth forever on this whole thing. She's trying to get him to, she's trying to kidnap him to Utah, yeah. basically. And it's fucking crazy. And this guy's like, I just want to go back to LA.
He's like, at this point, I'll violate to go back to jail.
He doesn't care. He just wants away from this shit.
I don't want this bitch.
He's just not having, he's like, he goes, and he was reasonable too. He goes, this is not the way you do shit. He goes, this is not the way you do shit. You do shit in stages. He goes, this is like to move from a place to a place, like 12 stages. You went from fucking 1 to 12. You didn't even tell me about 3. He goes, I can't parole out here. She goes, yes, you can. I talk to your PO. He goes, you talk to my fucking PO without me? He goes, what are you talking about? You can't do that. That's my parole officer.
This is my life.
It's my parole. He's like freaking out. Dude, it was crazy. He finally just like, right now I'm in the transit. I don't know whether.
Oh, there's no way that's last.
He's leaving.
Yeah.
Oh, he took his shit and he went to the airport.
There's no way that they're getting back together.
We don't know if she'll go back, but she is like, I'm not going back to LA.
Oh, it's such a great show.
She literally says it's the, you know, you can feel the devil there and all that kind of shit and it's not holy. Oh,
that's how he feels about your place.
That's how he feels about her. Yeah. Utah's weird.
It is.
I mean, no offense. We love Salt Lake.
The people were great. One of the best shows ever.
They were great, but they're the people that are repressed, you get the cool people that.
Their laws suck.
Your laws are weird as shit.
They suck.
Uncomfortable.
But that is stupid.
I still smoked weed in your streets, though, so that's
congratulations
nice.
On getting real beer. Finally.
Yeah, that was nice.
Good for you.
I felt really good smoking joints walking down the street
there.
Got to. I don't know why. I was in a very clean Salt Lake City, and there was like, you know, very clean, dorky people walking by me, and I just take a big hit and nod. How you doing? Fuck them. I was just like...
My
whatever.
Kids got us kicked out of a pool.
No, that's
places,
right.
Places, you can't even let kids just play.
No.
You get thrown out of pools for that
shit. Which is crazy, because everyone has 14 kids. I guess that's why you have to keep an eye on them, or else that whole state would
keep
be just...
Keep all that shit locked down, otherwise it's bedlam.
Utah would be a McDonald's playland. It's the whole fucking place.
Shit in the ball pit.
Balls rolling down the street. Yeah. What is that, a yellow ball rolling down there? Now, there's a lot more Love After Lockup stories, but those are the kind of the highlights.
The show is great.
We could not recommend it enough to you.
It's amazing.
And especially if you like small town murder, crazy panhandle behavior, prisoner dating game. It's all this mashed up into one and thrown up on a TV screen.
So good.
It's fucking amazing. We cannot recommend it enough. So keep watching that. Next week, we promise you there will be an actual, some kind of murder case.
Right.
But we do a murder case every week in full length. So we figured, you know what, let's have some fun and try to guide people on TV, since a lot of people are home and looking for shit to watch. So thank you everybody for everything you do for us. Thank you for your Patreon donation. You really are doing, I don't know if the woman on the show would say God's work. I'm not sure whose work it is, but thank you for doing it.
You're doing hero work, that's for sure.
We can't
understate nor overstate. We can't say enough, nor can we say too much about how fucking amazing you guys are.
Absolutely,
thank you,
man. Thank you so much. Listen to Crime and Sports every Tuesday, Small Town Murder every Thursday, PSA, this movie every Friday, wherever you listen to podcasts. I am James for Jimmy Singh.
I am Jimmy.
You.